Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. You know, today has been a day of great strife. The enemy has come in, and like a flood, the Spirit of God has lifted up a standard against his wicked hiney, if you will. Anyway, the Lord is wanting us to walk in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a love chapter, and God wants us to really read that and get that in our spirit. But what I want us to do right now is go to Ephesians 4. This is absolutely beautiful and monumental chapter on the body of Christ. And I think of the body of Christ, two particular chapters come to mind: Ephesians 4, and who knows the other one? 1 Corinthians 12, about the parts and the members of the body. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we are going to read, beginning in verse 2, Brother Anson.
With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen. Endeavoring to keep. We're to work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, what I want to encourage you to do, if you name the name of Christ, I want you to write this verse on an index card with the reference, Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring, and in the King James, I want you to put this down on an index card and begin to memorize it. Endeavoring, or working hard, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This will change your life. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, there are times when things get turbulent in relationships and work environments, even among Christians. And if you got this verse and the Holy Spirit quickens it to you, you begin to speak it and pray it, Lord, help me to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It is going to do wonders to cause you to be strengthened in the love of God to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, the study note here in this Bible says, concerning keep the unity, it says the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, cannot be created by any human being. It already exists. For those who have believed the truth and received Christ, as the apostle proclaimed in chapters 1 through 3, the Ephesians are now to keep and preserve that unity of the one body of Christ, that is, not through human efforts or organizations, but by walking, quote, worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's the first verse in chapter 4. Spiritual unity, he goes on to say, is maintained by being loyal to the truth and by walking in the Spirit. It cannot be attained by the flesh, unquote. Now, is anybody familiar with F.B. Meyer? This guy had a way with words. And when I read these little commentaries here and there, we don't do it very much, we're following along the lines of Nehemiah 8:8, which speaks of reading the scriptures and then getting the sense of the scriptures. Our focus is on the scriptures, but in our talk, while we're using our own words, we're trying to give the sense of what God is saying in His Word. That pretty clear? Nehemiah 8:8. So that everybody understands and learns the scriptures themselves. So, F.B. Meyer wrote this little short thing concerning endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says this, that he was a pastor of old, I think it was in the 1800s. He says this, the unity or oneness of the Spirit is a divine reality that we don't have to make, but only maintain. Try as we may, we can't make it one bit more perfect than it is. No basis of agreement, conferences, or conventions can do this. But we are called upon to give all diligence so that the divine ideal may be realized as much as possible among the saints. Listen to this, there will never be uniformity, but there may be unity. The pipes in the great organ will never be all the same length or tone. but they may be supplied by the same breath and conspire to utter the same melody. And the last part, he says, it must be our endeavor to guard against everything that would conflict with the inner unity of the spirit. Jealousy, bickering, harsh words, uncharitable misrepresentations. These must be under the ban of the loving soul. It is often necessary to proclaim the truth, to defend it in the pulpit and drawing room, to enforce it individuals to whom it may be extremely unpalatable. But love must prompt the speech and control the utterance. It is not enough to speak the truth. We must speak it in love. Now, so we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, pop over here with me to Colossians 4. There's a verse here. There's going to be a lot in this little short segment. There's going to be some nuggets I want you to really, really grasp. When we get in the Word individually or together, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, if you'll harvest what you're reading, if you'll seize upon the blessed promises and truths of the Lord's Word, it'll change your life, you see. And so you're not just reading over words in God's Word. You're actually mining golden nuggets. Look at Colossians 4, 6, brother. What's that say?
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Amen. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Isaiah 50, verse 4, prophetic of our Lord Jesus Christ, it said he would have the tongue of the learned to know how to speak a word in due season. What does it say in Proverbs? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver.
A word fitly spoken here is the word alway. Noted in the King James only translation that it's mentioned without an S, which means in the same sense as always, it's all the time, but means in every way possible and every meaning.
That's good, brother. I love Psalm 45:2, which is David speaks of God pouring grace into our lips. He says, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Grace is poured into thy lips. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Let grace be poured into our lips. That is a blessing. I like that. See, when you see a scripture, man, you can just start praying it in the manifestation in your life. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Lord, let there be grace poured into our lips. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12. And what do the words of our mouths have to do with keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? Well, they have a lot to do with it. And I think we see that clear connection. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12 says this, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Remember we read in Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ending in verse 32.
Amen. Thank you, bro. That's the end of Ephesians 4. So we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and that has everything to do with our hearts being captivated by the Spirit and the Word of God. And then out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak. Then we will be able to speak gracious words, as we read about in Colossians 4, 6 and Ecclesiastes 10, 12, which says the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. And those are really good scriptures to memorize. And there's a lot of them in Proverbs. A lot of people will read a proverb a day because there's 31 of them. Isn't that a blessing? And you'll find a lot of ones, beautiful scriptures and proverbs that could really be a blessing and help. You can harvest them with index cards and write them down. It's one thing to read through a chapter. It's another thing to harvest the golden nuggets of truth that we can seize upon, memorize, and carry forward in our lives. I love Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So you see where the words of our mouth have everything in the world to do with either stirring up strife or causing it to cease and be quenched. A soft answer does what? It turns away wrath. If you memorize that, you're going to have that in your life to where the next time somebody jumps in your face with something, anybody ever had that happen? Then you're going to be able to smile and come off with the love of Christ. The Bible says we're to love our enemies, to bless those that curse us, and to do good to those that despitefully use us and persecute us. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words do what? They stir up anger. Grievous words ignite or stir up anger. So somebody comes at you with fire through their mouth. If you breathe fire back at them, that's going to cause an explosion, isn't it? See the picture? But a soft answer turns away wrath. Now look over in 13th chapter. It says, verse 3, listen to this. Man, only the King James Bible could say it like this. Listen to this. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Wow. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Amazing. And in Proverbs 21:23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Have you ever been troubled because you said something you wish you didn't say? Oh, baby, that hurts, huh? Now, I don't know about you. I lose sleep over stuff like that. And of course, if at all possible, it's good to go back and get it straight with that person. Now, again, Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now, let's turn over to James chapter 3, speaking of grievous words stirring up anger as we read. We're going to read James 3. Whenever you think about the words of your mouth and the tongue, James 3 immediately comes to mind. And James is called by many the Proverbs in the New Testament. Now, Marcus, would you like to start reading in verse 1 of James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1?
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body.
So we are to strive to offend not in word. In our current state, perhaps in many things we offend all. With this little unruly member we read about here, the tongue, which we see several illustrations that the Lord gives to his servant James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, by the way. Sorry, Catholics, but Mary had children after Jesus was born by natural means with Joseph. In fact, at least six of them are named by name in the 6th chapter of Mark, verse 3, and in another place in the Gospels. They're named by name. So, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. Why? That they may obey us. Why do we put them in their mouth and we turn about their whole body? So we put a bit or put something fit in the horse's mouth with reins on them, and that controls the whole horse. That big, huge ton horses can weigh a lot of weight, hundreds or a couple thousand pounds. I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit much. But so, Marcus, we control that whole horse, which is, you know, when you look at a horse at how magnificently muscular they are, and you know, you control that whole horse's direction by what? When you're riding that horse, you pull that rein. Talk about that. You know, you pull that rein and it directs him exactly where you pull it, right?
Small bit turns the whole animal.
Yeah, that whole huge animal is directed. His direction is according to his mouth. Now, what is the Lord saying to us here? And let's read a little bit further because he gives another illustration. Behold also the ships. This is a bigger thing. These ocean-going vessels are so big. You ever been on a big ship? You ever seen these things? I grew up in New Orleans, man. A lot of ships dock there, and they're just absolutely magnificently large. Amazing how big they are. They're like a city, yeah. Some of these cruise ships, you know, you ever been on a cruise? It takes you about 3 days to figure out where you are on that thing. What floor am I on? Where am I? Oh, I think I remember that. The first day, you're virtually lost, man. So we get a little bit of a glimpse of how big these ships are. Now listen to this. He says in verse 4 of James 3, behold also the ships, though they be so great, so large, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, the rudder, right? What's another word for that? The tongue, yeah. The ship's rudder, whithersoever the governor listed, or the pilot of the ship. When he turns that rudder, that whole huge ship changes its directions by that little rudder. And that rudder represents your mouth, just like the bit in the horse's mouth controls that whole animal. So your tongue will control your whole life. It will direct your life, if you will. Even so, verse 5, so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Proverbs 18, it's good, 20 and 21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are we speaking? The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, what? This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So if we want good success and want to be prosperous in this life, we've got to get the word in us and meditate on it and speak it forth. Let it not depart from our mouth, but let it guide our lives. When you speak the word, you speak in the life of God. Jesus said these words are spirit, they are life. And the entrance of his word gives life, and his word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, amen. So here's an interesting verse I love. Memorized it years ago. Numbers 14:28 says, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Wow. God hears everything we say. And he says, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. That's when the spies, the 10 and the 2 spies, were doing the survey of the promised land in the 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Numbers. 14:28 of Numbers. Check that out. We'll keep reading in James 3. James 3, beginning in verse 6, Anson.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell.
How great the effect of a little fire. It burns down the whole forest, doesn't it? Numbers 14:28 says, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. So James is saying here that there's a great effect by a little fire. Remember, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, right? You know, when you keep that fire in, then you don't start a big fire. How did a forest fire, somebody throws a cigarette or a match or a cigar or something, right? Starts the whole forest on fire. How great a matter a little fire kindleth, verse 5 and 6. Then verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Let me ask a rhetorical question. Why do you think the Lord, when he filled his people on Pentecost with the Holy Ghost, took over their spirit, soul, body, and tongue? Why was their tongue involved? Maybe because the tongue is an unruly evil that only the Spirit of God can tame. Marcus is quoting Jesus there in 12th chapter of Matthew, 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the tongue, no man can tame, right? Can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's one of the ways to monitor what's coming out of your mouth gives in others' mouths is fruit of what's in their heart, right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's like the heart is the reservoir from which the tongue gets its words. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of what's in your heart, the mouth speaketh. Have you ever seen some things you didn't like coming out of your mouth and then stopped and said, wow, Lord? I love Psalm 141:5. David prayed this. Put a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That is a very important verse to memorize. That's Psalm 141:5. We're to pray that God will put a watch before our mouth and keep the door of our lips. Also, David prayed Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. That's Psalm 19:14. Now, verse 9, James 3. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. God doesn't like mixture, does he? No, not at all. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now listen to this last little section here we're going to finish with in James 3, because this brings us back to endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. Verse 13, what's that say?
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Notice he's talking about there, guys. Bitter envying and strife, where is it? It's in your hearts. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12:34. As we memorize scripture, we begin to have a working knowledge of the mind of Christ. So we can, as we study other scripture, we can factor in line upon line, precept upon precept, more fully other contents of the Word of God, which helps us qualify and understand the things of the Lord.
I just looked up the Greek word for conversation in verse 13 of chapter 3 of James, and it means of a good behavior or way of life that you carry out in the Lord with meekness. It goes on and changes the subject of the tongue speaking to show others, but with meekness of wisdom to show others in out of a good life, a way of life.
All right, we're reading in the last part of James 3. Thank you, Anson. That was good, brother. And we're talking about, God is talking about, and we're looking, we're peering into the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, and discovering some things about the tongue and how the tongue can be used to speak death or life. And there's a little note here where this Life in the Spirit study Bible has a little note on the tongue is a fire. He says, James emphasizes our inclination to sin in our speaking. Sins of speech include harsh and unkind words, lying, exaggeration, teaching false doctrine, slander, gossiping, and boasting. The mature believer keeps his tongue under control by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Isn't that good? And makes us aware when we are transgressing the law of love and thus offending both God and others. Because of the tendency to sin with the tongue, James exhorts every believer to, quote, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1:19. Let's bounce over there real quick while he mentioned it. James 1:19 says what? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Quick to hear. How do you hear? With your ears, right? Your ears don't move. Your mouth must be shut, right? Slow to speak and slow to wrath. We've been given two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should use our ears twice as much, right? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we're to be, this is a good one to memorize, James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So we're to be always in school. We'll always be listening and learning. Be swift to hear. We're to be teachable, non-judgmental, and non-violent. And even a fool is known by his much speaking.
Yeah.
Even a fool who keeps quiet is thought to be wise. It's Proverbs 17:27-28. All right, that's a good one, Marcus. Now, we're finishing James 3. There's a lot of good stuff on the tongue and on endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, like in relationships when somebody, you know, there's this strife or there's upheaval or somebody's not in the spirit that day, or a lost person you work with, or even among believers, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. The grievous words stir up anger. So if you're tempered and you're walking in the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and letting your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, then you're going to have the Word of God in season, out of season. And the tongue of the learned, spoken of in Isaiah 50, verse 4, is knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Remember, put a watch before my mouth, keep a door on my lips. Anybody ever had the problem other than me of saying too much? And so, man, that irks me when I say too much. Now, we're talking about the Word, and I'm speaking a lot. I'm kind of called and speak a little bit. We share in that. But when I'm in a conversation with a brother or sister, and I reflect back on it, and I see, man, I was just full of self. I kept talking about self. I wasn't preferring them above myself. Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but everything man also on the things of others." You ever had a conversation where all you talked about was your troubles, your job, your this, or your good stuff even? Wow, we did this. We got that. Whoa. It was like I was serving self and not asking the other person, hey, how's your day? So I'm not the only one full of self unless I'm crucified with Christ. Every time we look in the mirror of God's Word, which James 1 speaks about, then we see a true reflection of who we are in God. So we got to stay in the Word of God and let it continue to circumcise our heart so that we're conversing with a brother or sister and endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, not only keeping the unity of spirit, but building up and edifying. The Bible talks so much about edifying.
1 John 3:18, John is the only apostle that refers to us and the children of God as his children. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue." I mean, we can't tame any of those. "But in deed and in truth." As charity is shown as an action, not of something that we say.
Yeah, amen. Not just lip service, right? 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ and 1 Corinthians 14 about the gifts among the body of Christ. It says several times in there about let all things be done unto edifying or building up the brethren. We're to edify one another. That means build them up. And so if I'm talking to Sharon and I'm so ate up with all my stuff because my life isn't really laid down. Now, we've all done this. I'm trying to beat everybody. I know I'm just using myself. I've done this a million times in my Christian walk, and I don't want to do it ever again. If I'm so ate up with all of that and living in my own world and self-absorbed, if you will, that I'm not living in the Spirit crucified with Christ enough to say, how are you doing? Man, God bless you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Man, how was your morning going? I bet it's going great. You know, stuff like that. And being there and be slow to speak, quick to listen, right? We're to be quick to listen. James 1:19, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. God put a watch before our mouth and keep the door of our lips. Circumcise us, Lord. Let our lives be laid down in worshiping you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, elevating your people above ourselves. Blessing and edifying them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, verse 16, James 3, as we finish. For we're envying. Let's see, I need to start verse 13. That answer just read. Who is a wise man and a doer with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or way of life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Notice the heart appears here in this chapter on the words of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if ye have bitter envying and strife where? In your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. I like that. Lie not against the truth. If God points out a sin in your life, don't try to cover it or defend yourself. Just admit it. Don't lie against the truth. Get that poison out. Let him cleanse it. Yeah, well, how often have we done that? You know, Adam did that. He didn't run to God. He ran away from God, right? When we have sin in our life, we got to run to God, right? And that's good, Marcus, because that's where God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to where we automatically throw our hands up and say, Lord, I'm dead wrong. And even to his body, well, hey, I was wrong at that. Here's what I did wrong, and it was a sin. And God, please forgive me. Forgive me, and brother, will you forgive me for? And that kind of stuff keeps any kind of schism out of the body, doesn't it, brother? So, in verse 15, this wisdom, that which is bitter envying and strife and lying against truth, this kind of wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Three things. Earthly, underline these, sensual or bestial by nature is what that means in the Greek. Devilish. Couldn't get any more abominable than that. It's of the devil. That kind of wisdom is of the devil. This wisdom that he just described with bitter envy, you know, having a root of bitterness and strife and lying against what is the truth. That descends, this wisdom that he just listed, descends not from above. It's not heavenly wisdom. It's not divine wisdom, but it's what? Earthly, sensual, devilish. Also, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And how many evil works here, Mark?
Every.
Read that verse again. 3:16, brother.
For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work.
Amen. Now, let me throw this one in there in the mix. It says in Proverbs 13:10, I love this. It's a very memorizable verse here. Very important to memorize. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Man, if this one doesn't hit it on the head. Oh, were you looking at that one? Only by pride. How does contention come? Now, we started off talking about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Amen. It's only by pride that contention can come between two people. Only. You underline that word only. Circle it. That's Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Verse 17, the last two verses here. James 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom, I love this verse. If anybody ever says, what's your favorite verse? Sometimes I'll say, I think this one. I love all of the Word of God, don't we? All scriptures give my inspiration from God. But listen to this. But the wisdom that is from above is what? It's first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Not full of judgment. Oh, no. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. No respect of persons with God. In fact, James 2:9 says, if you have respect of persons, you've got sin in your life. So the wisdom that is from above is what? It's first, number one, pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I really highly recommend you memorize that verse. And the fruit, verse 18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, as we close here, remember Psalm chapter 133 says in verse 1 that, behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Again, Psalm 133, 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Our theme verse here, again, is Ephesians 4, 3, the truth about the unity of the Spirit, working diligently to keep it among the members of the body of Christ in particular, where Paul writes in the inspiration of the Spirit, endeavoring or working hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, 3. There are times when people who are in the body of Christ disagree, and they might have to agree to disagree in the end in some ways concerning some non-essential matters. But they should talk to one another, person to person, and seek to work through any strife or dissension. Jesus told us, quote, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Not to a crowd, but in a private setting, you and him, or you and her. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother, Matthew 18:15. We should talk things out, which should always be done in the spirit of love, the love of Christ, and with a humble, teachable spirit, realizing we are all very imperfect and in desperate need of God's forgiveness ourselves and His working in our own hearts. As we read earlier in Ephesians 4:32, Anson read that we're to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Proverbs 25:9 says, quote, debate thy cause with thy brother or thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Paul and Barnabas disagreed sharply. You remember that in Acts 15? And even parted ways because of the heated conflict, but not with hatred or strife in their hearts. Acts 15:37-39, the Bible doesn't indicate that either of them were wrong. They saw things different concerning John Mark, who was a young believer at that time. Again, that's Acts 15:37-39. Paul and Barnabas disagreed sharply, the scripture says, but there was no strife or bitterness or unforgiveness. They agreed to disagree, yet they remained in the love of Christ. The true remnant believer must not allow strife, bitterness, or anything short of the love of God into his heart. And sometimes this must must be made a matter of prayer when there is a struggle within to maintain the love of God. Doesn't the Bible say, keep yourselves in the love of God? Amen. As we look for the return of Jesus, that's Jude verse 21. Speaking of a great verse to memorize, Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Not, the love of God is not only something to get into, it's something to keep yourself in. Remember Ephesians 4:3, which says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, or endeavor to work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hell waits for all who die outside of the love of God. Remember 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And listen to this, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. We'll finish here. The Bible says, love the brotherhood. 1 Peter 2:17. Also 1 Thessalonians 5:13-15 says, and be at peace among yourselves, believers. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Father, we ask you to bless us to walk in your love, to increase in your love according to your word, Lord, and endeavor to keep the unity of spirit and a bond of peace through the Holy Ghost, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.